The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do I do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I get nervous about starting a program out with deception. I am not in the studios of Canton, Ohio, Living Bread Radio. I am in Siouxland Catholic Radio. How very nice to be here. I came from last night. I was in Cedar Rapids, and I drove approximately 270 miles. I saw, okay, I'm just going to estimate it. 4.5 quadrillion stalks of corn. As far as the eye could see, there was corn. Is that an outside fire alarm?
Yeah, it's our monthly.
Oh, that's your monthly fire alarm.
Yeah.
I thought they were celebrating because I'm here. That's another. You didn't do that, huh? I deliberately asked for a helicopter drop.
I missed it.
All right. Good to have you with me. Here's how the program works. You got a number, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program here in Siouxland Catholic Radio. What a beautiful setting they've got here. Phenomenal. I did notice one thing, though, and this seems to be a rather common, visage. There isn't a picture of me anywhere. Not anywhere. Not even a stick figure. Nothing. So I'm going to leave you with a stick figure. You know that, don't you? 877-57-EQUAL. Andrew, we got to get up that whiteboard because I got no idea who's calling in and who isn't. I'll just guess. I'll just make up. Okay, we have Jane from Fort Wayne. I'd have no idea who's calling in. Troy, you going to get that whiteboard up? He's messing with it. All right. If not, Andrew, you just give me the calls in my ear. By the way, a couple things. Hey, can I advertise you guys tonight or no, you're full?
Yes, you can.
I can advertise you? All right, here's what's going on. Here at Siouxland Catholic Radio, we're having our big, big banquet, our support banquet. Everything. When's the action start? About 5:30? Something like that?
Social hour.
Social hour.
Is it 5 o'clock?
Social hour is at 5, all right, Lisa, and then...
And John's going to do a welcome.
He's going to do a welcome. He's my lead-in act. He gets the Frisbees and the beach ball's gone. All right. And then we got, what kind of food are we having, by the way?
Ooh, we are having chicken and ham.
Chicken and ham.
And delectable desserts.
Yeah.
Followed by you.
So you get to pick your desserts. It isn't your basic cheesecake with a raspberry drizzle across it, right?
Oh, no.
Hey, Troy, I think you just found it right there. Sort of. You're getting there, Troy. Yep. You're right there. He got it. He's not as dumb as I look. All right. 877-573-7825. Couple other places I'm going. Let me look on the book here. I found out I'm heading for Nebraska after today at Seward, Nebraska, at St. Vincent's. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. The next night, Aquinas Catholic in David City, Nebraska. So both of those are there. If you want information, just go to my website, drray.com. The numbers are there. One other thing, as I just kind of go on this horrid self-promotion gig, we've got Father Mitch Pacwa and Father Larry Richards coming to share the stage with me on Living Right with Dr. Ray on October 24th and 25th in North Canton, Ohio. We don't get back to North Canton very often. But this time we're coming around at Walsh University. Tapings are at 5 and 7 p.m. Father Mitch is going to be there the whole time. You want to meet him in person? You want to ask him questions? He's going to share the stage with me. I'm not going to give him 8 minutes worth of guest time. He's going to be right there. Well, sometimes he struggles a little bit intellectually, but I work with him. I work with him. And then Father Larry Richards is going to be there, too. You know Father Larry. If you watch the show at all, he's got his own segment on the show. He seems to think the show should be retitled Living Mary with Father Larry. However, I told him it's Living Okay with Dr. Ray. That's the way it is. That Living Right with Dr. Ray is kind of uppity. So if you want to go to livingbreadradio.com. Bring the kids. We'll feed you. Shows are 5 and 7 p.m. You can come to 1, 2, 3, or 4. People come in my office, especially if they're Christian, and especially if they take their faith very seriously, and they are tormented. Why? Because they think that being a Christian means that they have to serve anyone who wants them to serve them. If a relative wants money, they have to give that relative money. That's what Christians do. Charity, you know. If someone says, I need you to do this for me, and they're thinking, well, I don't know if I can watch your kid. I'm very busy, and you want me to watch your kid on Tuesdays and Thursdays? You know, for example, a grandparent often wrestles with this. My daughter wants me to watch her two children on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's a lot for me. I'm tired, but isn't that what I should be doing? All right, I'm going to give you a couple ideas on how you sort through this. It occurred to me as I read scripture, and again, I'm not going to interpret it myself, just going to draw some extrapolations. Our Lord seemed to say we have to take care of people who can't take care of themselves. So that's the first question you got to ask yourself. Can this person do this for themselves? Now, I'm not saying can they do it with effort. I'm saying, can they do it? Well, you know, that's frustrating for my daughter. You know, she needs me to watch the kids because she gets frustrated. Well, that doesn't mean she can't do it for herself. It just means it could be a little tough. So the first question to ask is, can the person do this for themselves? You know, if my neighbor asks me to help him rake the leaves, if I'm going to rake the leaves with him, it's going to be because I want to be nice to my neighbor. It's not going to be because I'm a good Christian. How is that doing anything? My neighbor can rake his own leaves. He can do that. Now, if I want to help him, okay, good enough. But I'm not obligated because I'm a Christian. Here's another question, and this really comes into play with kids still living at home at age 57. Will your support help them? In other words, if you give money, if you give free room and board, if you allow them to live in your basement, to be kind, are you being Christian? Are you helping them, or are you hurting them? Two questions to ask. One, can they do it for themselves? Most people can, you know. They might have to put more effort into it than they would like, but they can. Two, would it hurt them more than help them if you act charitably? Many people agonize over this. What is my duty as a Christian to my mother-in-law? She wants me to go over there every Wednesday and Thursday and have lunch with her, and I can't. I'm raising 5 kids. It's really difficult, but that's what she wants. Am I not being a Christian if I don't go? You have to judge it. Yes, it'd be nice. That's what your mother-in-law wants. My brother says that we need to let him borrow our car. His car broke down. Of course, my brother hasn't worked for 2.5 years, and he's barely making ends meet, but his car broke down, and I knew that was going to happen, but he wants to borrow our car. Do I have to give him my car as a Christian? Well, you can decide whether or not to give him his car, but I'm not sure there's a Christian obligation there. Being a Christian doesn't mean you have to accede to everything that everybody asks. I get many, many emails, and no matter how long the email is, usually down at the bottom, it says, advice, please, guidance, please, give me an answer, please, I can't call in because I just don't have time. I always love that one. I always love that one. If this is a crisis situation and you can't call in for a half an hour and you want me to answer this. Now, am I obliged to answer all those emails? No, I'm not. I do answer them in some way, believe it or not, every one, in some way. Whether it's a referral, whether it's please call the radio program, whether it's here's a book referral, I do that. But to solve their problem. And the interesting thing is, here and there, somebody gets real mad at you. I wrote you and I poured out my heart and you referred me to a book. I wrote you and you told me to call. I can't call. They get angry. They get very angry. Now, I haven't had any of them say you call yourself a Christian yet. It's in between the lines. So the question becomes, is it Christian to do whatever somebody asks you when they seem to be in need, but you have to define what is need? Our Lord talked about lack of food. He talked about shelter. He talked about serious physical illness. Talked about those things. He really didn't talk about, I need you to help me mow my backyard. Didn't have grass over there anyway. They just had a bunch of rocks and sand. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'd be delighted to hear from you.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Hi, this is Vanessa Dunha-Garmo. It's tough raising faithful Catholic kids today. The values your kids are getting from school, friends, and the media are often very different from those they get from you. What's a Catholic parent to do? How can you encourage your children to stay true to their faith? Find out in a new free webinar hosted by Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Join the webinar, Raising Confident Catholic Kids, on Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Greg and Lisa will share tried and true tips about how to become a more connected Catholic family so that your children will hold on to their precious faith they've received. If you're a Catholic parent, this is not a webinar you want to miss. Sign up today at CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Remember, it's free to attend. Again, go to CatholicHOM.com/webinar to sign up today.
Did you know Franciscan University of Steubenville offers a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies? Our unique program offers courses from many academic disciplines, literature, biology, art, theology, psychology, all taught from a distinctly Catholic perspective. This 100% online program can be completed in just 1 year. Learn to see the world through a Catholic lens with a Master's in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu/MCS.
Live over air, your air, or our national air? This air? All right, and we're going to lose half our audience. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Ray Guarendi here, the program. The doctor is in. I'm here at the station. What beautiful place here. Siouxland Catholic Radio. By the way, that makes me nervous. This whole town makes me nervous from a legal perspective. Siouxland, you know? Just you start thinking about it, you get nervous. Good to have you with me. All right, let's get to a couple of your calls. And then they gave me a question from one of the listeners here locally. Ryan, Cleveland, Ohio, The Rock. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay there, sir. Are you, by the way, you say you're in your 40s. This all kind of got momentum when you were 19. Have you been working since then?
I've tried to pull jobs the entire time, and I always lose them. So I try. I keep trying, but I lose them because of the anxiety symptoms I have, or I miss too many days because of my depression, things like that.
Anxiety and depression are a duo. You almost find them frequently together. Have you ever had a psychiatrist tell you that in their opinion, notice how I use the plural pronoun, in their opinion, that this has a biochemical base, or no, this is essentially how you've come to look at life all these years?
I've heard both. I did like cognitive therapy that would kind of, that was supposed to help with both, a kind of a broad range, whether it was, you know, biochemical or it was due to something that happened in my past, or, and I'm not sure. When it came on at 19, and this is going to sound ridiculous, and I apologize for how it sounds, but when I was 19, I was in college. I had a beautiful girlfriend, a great family. You know, everything in my life seemed great. And then I got this horrible panic attack that came out of nowhere. And then it lasted, honestly, 4 months over and over and over again, where I lost like 100 and something pounds. I got down to like 115, like I was like skeletal. I couldn't eat. And so it's like I had a nervous breakdown. So I don't know what caused it. From that point of view, at least.
Ryan, if you've ever seen the list of physical causes.
A movie or a book?
If you've ever seen the list of physical causes for anxiety or panic attacks, it's 9 miles long.
Yeah.
And typically, when someone has one, it comes out of either fatigue or rumination or any number of things. And if you rule out all the physical stuff, then what you find is that sometimes panic attacks are almost random. They just sort of flare up. Your problem was that you got panicky about being panicky. Because during that 4 months, when you said it came and went and came and went and came and went, I know your attitude was, when is this going to happen again? Where will I be? Will I be paralyzed with anxiety? Will I have to leave the scene? Will my girlfriend look at me and say, you're weird? All that stuff was in your head. So what happened was, instead of getting over the panic attack and saying, well, my body surged. I don't know why. I got a clean bill of health. Okay, that was really ugly, really unpleasant, but it's not going to affect me. But you didn't do that, my friend. What it did is it started a downward trajectory that you started to interpret everything in your life as, I'm going to have a panic attack. I'm going to be anxious. And that's really depressing because I can't really keep a job because I get too anxious about going into work. So that's really depressing. That's what you've done to yourself. That's what you have done to yourself, my friend. If I could, if I could snap my fingers and basically say, Ryan, you are no longer going to be afraid of your anxiety. And you said, okay. And in fact, you weren't. You could start pulling out of this. So your question, is there any hope? Yeah, there's your hope. You have lived your life in fear of when this will happen again. And because of that, you have constricted your life. And because of constricting your life, you probably have gotten pretty depressed.
Yes, I think the anxiety and what has happened is has caused the depression. I think you're absolutely right about that.
See it all the time.
Not being able to hold a job, not being able to take care of
myself. Wait a minute. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Not being able to hold a job. That's not true. You're perfectly able to hold a job, but you don't, because the anxiety is so uncomfortable and distressing that you figure, I can't take this.
Right.
That's the difference, my friend. You've talked yourself into this state.
Huh. So if just, you would, do I just got to just keep feeling it and moving through and praying?
Here's what you do. You understand that your anxiety is not going to hurt you. It's ugly. It's unpleasant. If you have a little attack at work, go in the bathroom, sit down, get something to read. You know, we guys have to have something to read in the bathroom, or else we can't go to the bathroom. And just let it pass. It will eventually simmer down. Then you can go back out and say, yeah, that was unpleasant, but I think I'm okay now. Or at least I'm better now. But what you've done in the last 20 years, 25 years, is you have just simply allowed this black cloud to envelop you. And it now rules your life instead of you ruling it. I've told this story before, Ryan. I had a panic attack one time. I was practicing ball. I had a panic attack. It was really nasty, okay? Couldn't catch my breath. Heart rate went up to 180. I knelt down in the outfield. I'm thinking, what the heck is all this about? Oh, panic attack. I wonder always. I was kind of detached. I said, I wonder what this always felt like. Now I know.
That's awesome. I wish I was like that.
That's right. The difference was I didn't panic over the panic. And later on, I realized I hadn't eaten for 24 hours and my blood sugar must have plummeted. And that's what caused it. But at the time, I didn't know. I just thought, wow, that was weird. I didn't rush off to the hospital. I didn't think I was having a heart attack. I didn't go to the emergency room, which is what many people do.
That's what I did.
Now, of course you do. That's standard stuff. And then you're given a clean bill of health, and you say to yourself, no, they might have missed it. No, I don't know if they found it or not. And then you tell yourself, see? So that's what you're doing to yourself, my friend. There's a guy named David. There's a guy named David Carbonell. I attended one of his seminars. He has a real nice understanding and take on anxiety, generalized anxiety, social anxiety, panic attacks, phobias, etc. All the ways that fears and anxiety manifest themselves.
Right.
You might want to check him out. Check him out and see.
What is his name one more time?
David Carbonell. I think he was probably Carbonelli, and he probably tried to Americanize it, although I can't say for sure.
Gotcha.
David Carbonell. Okay. All right, Ryan, good luck. Pull out of this, man. This is Dr. Ray.
I sure hope so. Thanks so much.
All right,
for
buddy.
Everything. I really appreciate it. God bless.
You're welcome. 877-573-7825. All right, let me see what, how am I got time here? Whoever I take now, I'm going to have to bump up against the break. But let's go to an anonymous male. Kansas City Mo, he's a convert. His family is not. They're not. Not only are they not converts, they're not even Christian, and they don't seem to care about that. And he's an outlier. So he brings his wife and his kids around his family, and they'll talk about stuff that is not good for little kids' ears. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
How inappropriate do they get?
Well, it's, you know, F-bombs and taking God's name in vain, taking our Lord's name in vain. I mean, it's, they curse like sailors. It's, and they do it around their children, so I guess they obviously don't think it's that big of a deal. But, and then sometimes I've been around them and, you know, they'll have sexually explicit conversations about, you know, stuff like that, and they're 7-year-old will be standing right next to him, and they don't have a care in the world about it, you know. And
how old are your kids, sir?
Well, just 1 year old, and then we have another one on the way, so I might be jumping the gun a little bit, but you know, I just, this is something I've struggled with.
Well, this is something you don't have to worry about for at least another 2 years. Stay right there. I got a few ideas. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. You can call anytime during the program, and your chances of being heard are pretty close to equal. They're not totally equal, but they're close enough.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Who is the Creator's masterpiece? The Catholic Catechism says that God's masterwork of the mission of the Son and the Spirit is the all-holy, ever-Virgin Mary. She, for the first time, was the dwelling where the Father could place His Son and His Spirit to live among men. The Church, says the Catechism, has often read the most beautiful texts on wisdom as relating to Mary. She is acclaimed in liturgy as the seat of wisdom. The Holy Spirit prepared Mary for her great task by filling her with grace, and by sheer grace she was conceived without sin. It was appropriate that she, in whom the eternal Son would dwell, would herself be without any stain of original sin. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Please visit us at our website, www.maltausa.org.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Thank you for joining me here at The Doctor Is In at Siouxland Catholic Radio, because I'm going to be here tonight talking to the folks for their support here. You want to come? We still got, you said they got room for about 250. Right now they're at 220. So you still want to come, can be delighted. I guarantee you, you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh and you'll have a good time. And I heard what the food is. But the important thing is the desserts. There's a variety of desserts. It's not your basic cheesecake with raspberry drizzle over it. I think that's the law now when you have to do pledge drives and you have to get raspberry drizzle over your cheesecake. Cut separates the pledge drives from the pledge drives. I am talking to a gentleman from Kansas City, a young dad. Are you there, sir?
Yes.
Couple of things to consider in this. One, does your family look at you like you're the weirdo?
I would say so.
So you don't want to, you got to be careful coming across like I'm holy and you people are not. And I don't want to sully myself by being around you. You got to be careful on that one. Your child is one, and then you have a little baby in the womb. I don't think the baby in the womb is going to hear it, and then the one-year-old ain't going to remember it. So you have a couple of years. And perhaps, they might change some of this as their seven-year-old starts to get a little bit too worldly and they realize they better watch what they say, even though they're not religious. That may happen, so you got to give them some time. I'm not saying it will. Okay. Second thing is, let's say that your older child gets to be four. Now, the cussing wouldn't bother me quite as much. Well, it bothers me less, because you can tell the four-year-old some people use words that they shouldn't use. Some people, if they don't believe that Jesus is God, then what happens is they don't care how they talk. Parents will think because a child is exposed to it, without it being explained to them, that the kid's automatically going to absorb it, and pretty soon he's going to start talking like that. Not likely. Not likely. Especially if you and your wife don't talk that way, and you explain to him at whatever level he is about that. Now, the sexual stuff would bother me. If they start doing that, I probably would say something like, hey, I got to get gone. I'll come back another time. I really don't want him to hear this. He's too young to hear this kind of stuff. Now, one other question here. Now, because I'm a shrink, I think this way. Do you think that there's a part of what they're doing as if to say, in your face?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't.
Okay. No, that's good.
I don't think so.
So they're just kind of sloppy in what they talk about, and they're not thinking about it. There's no kids around other than theirs, and they don't really care if they're here, right?
Yeah, because they've been like this since before I converted.
Okay. Well, here's the other thing,
another
too.
Okay.
If you're going to win your family over, you kind of got to be around them at somewhat. Excuse me. And then, you know as well as I do, some of these controversial subjects are going to come up. And you'll have a chance to present the Catholic Christian viewpoint on this. Well, if you're not there, if you say, you know what, I just don't want my five-year-old to hear this, then at that point, you're pretty much shunning them, and they'll be convinced of all the people in their lives, the only one who doesn't want to have anything to do with us is the Christian. Yeah, you got to watch that one. You were going to say something, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other, my mother lives with her boyfriend. Well, that was another big deal, and I guess that would be another thing that I could just explain. Well,
she
doesn't have the same beliefs as us.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You just have to say some people don't believe in doing it God's way, and they do what they want. Sure. Absolutely. Sometimes, believe it or not, that's almost a better way to do it, because the kids will see that, in fact, that stuff is out there, and they'll know that we don't believe that. We don't go in that direction. Other people do, and I don't have to be influenced by it. Mm-hmm. Sure. Every family has people who are living together. Every family has people who proclaim to be Catholic and then are on their third marriage. Every family has one of those. So what do you do with the 9-year-old who goes to her aunt's house, and the aunt's got the third-time husband there? How do you explain that? And you say, well, honey, some people just, they don't think the way God says to do it is the way to do it. They don't want to do it that way. All right. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Uh-oh, somebody says, thank you. Okay. Oh, well, come on. It looks like he was going to disagree with me, but then he left. All right. You on the line, please be patient. I'm going to get to you, but I promise the folks here in Siouxland, this came from one of their listeners who didn't want to call in. He's probably embarrassed. All right, let me read this. Do you have any tips on how to get my 4 boys ages 9 and under to clean up after themselves? That's insulting. What do you mean, do I have any tips? Dr. Ray, you've been a psychologist for 40 years. You've worked with thousands of parents. You have anything that deals with a really weird situation of getting kids to clean up after themselves? Nope. I've never seen it. Never really thought about it. I'm going to let you get an answer just in case anyway. Consequences or rewards? Excuse me. I once asked, this is great. This kid's got a career in politics. I once asked my 3-year-old to clean up his toys, and he said, no, I'll just go sit in timeout. Now, Mom, that didn't shake you, did it? Because I know exactly what my wife would have said. Okay, go ahead. And when you come out, you got to clean up your toys. Okay. All right. How do I do this? Very simple. I would simply say, I'll tell you what, guys, go stand in the corner until I think you're ready to clean up after yourself. I'm only going to ask you once, and I'm not going to ask you anymore. Now, the other thing you can do is very simple. You can have your own box. And your own box is this. I'm going to get that. Okay. I'll answer that. I wish Mike would have stayed on. Get your own box and just tell the boys, hey, boys, I'm going to ask you to pick it up. If you don't, I will. And if it goes in my box, it's gone for a week. Or you have to pay me a dime to get it back. Or, in fact, you'll have to do chores to get it back. All right, there you go, Ashley. All right, Mike said this. He said, I think you are wrong about young kids and learning the bad behavior you were talking about. He says, I'm a psychologist, and all the literature says you're wrong. Okay, I want to address that. Mike's bringing up a point, but I think we're talking apples and oranges here. All right, so we'll get to that. And then we'll get to you, too. I'm Dr. A, 877-573-7825.
With Teresa Tomeo.
This is one of the reasons why Deacon Dom and I love to travel so much, is because when we look around, you can see beauty anywhere. You can see it in your backyard, for crying out loud. And we should every single day. But it's a very big world out there. And you know how much I love Italy. I have a whole website dedicated to it now. I try to get back there as often as possible for two reasons. Because it encourages me in my faith, because the Catholic Church being there, and because of the beauty. There is something about the different regions and the mountains and the small towns and the villages and the churches. In every single little town has a church. And it could be in the middle of nowhere on the top of a very remote hill. But how did they get this church all the way up here? That in itself is a beautiful thing.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Okay, I wish Mike would have stayed. Mike legitimately brought up a great point, but I think we're talking differences. Now, if Mike is a psychologist, and he says all the literature says I'm wrong. All the literature says that kids do learn from witnessing and seeing bad behavior modeled. Of course, no question about that. I've written whole books on that, how to keep your kids away from that kind of behavior through the media and through their peers and through relatives. Absolutely, no question about that. In this case, there are several variables. One, kids are too young. All right, so our caller didn't have to worry about it for another 2-3 years. Two, these were situations that were periodic at best. The kids were not drenched in this stuff like they would be if they had a steady diet of television or video games or social media. They're not drenched in it. Three, there are times when you do have to explain that other people act that way. And I did say that the innocence factor kicked in, which is if they start talking sexual stuff, and your five-year-old is sitting there and doesn't really want to hear this, yeah, you get out of there. Get out of there. Don't let their innocence be stripped. So, yes, Mike, on one hand, A drenching in bad behavior is not good for kids. Of course. But there's an interesting thing the research also says. This is interesting. Kids who are drenched in that, who also live in a solid, loving, faith-filled, moral home, believe it or not, are less vulnerable to it. It's the kids who don't have anything to counter it that are most likely to be most influenced. So in that sense, yes, there's hordes of research says you're exposed to bad stuff as a kid. It's not good for you. You could grow up modeling it. Absolutely. The other variable in this case is that he was asking, should I shun my relatives? It's really what he was saying. And if there's some way not to shun your relatives who are not Christian or who are not living morally as our Lord would teach, you got to find it. Because you can't just say, you know what, you people are just wretched pagans, and I'm going to just take my kids and go home. Again, protect your kids, but at the same time, ponder what you can do to minimize this so you can still have some kind of relationship with these folks. It may not be an ushy-gushy one where you have breakfast with them every other day, but what are you going to do about Christmas Eve when everybody's there except you? What are you going to do? So, just some thoughts. Let's go to Lisa. She's been waiting patiently for some time. For those of you listening, this is Lisa. I'm going to euphemize the word there in case I know a lot of parents have their kids listening because they want me to raise their kids. But her 21-year-old daughter was assaulted a few years ago. Take the meaning of the word assault in its most negative way, I guess. So she feels that her situation is very different than what I was talking about in my intro. Okay. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay. Tell me how it's different.
Well, she is still... still very traumatized. Sorry. She's in therapy. But I wasn't going to cry. She's in therapy and has been since the event. When she's gotten jobs and she's gone out to work, like at restaurants or whatever, she's moods start to change. Because she doesn't like being looked at. She doesn't want to be around people who... She doesn't want men to look at her. She's afraid they're looking at her in the wrong way. So, you know, she's tried to find other jobs where she doesn't want to be around people. Like, she's losing her trust in most people. So, she's in school, and she's in school online. But her social life is not very much. She wants to work. Not working doesn't make her feel good about herself. But I don't know whether, and I don't know where to suggest that she does go to work, because I know that that's fulfilling. But I feel like we're kind of trapped in this loop of, you know, I know that you need to heal. We need to get this under control. I understand what she's talking about, society. Nowadays, so many ways that men look at her. She's attractive. And it's scary for her because of what happened.
Lisa, what you're saying is that my daughter has a very powerful social reason to retreat.
Yes.
To not go out in social settings because it brings back horrible memories. Now, according to what you said up there, it was a few years ago that this happened.
It'll be 2 years on the 10th.
Okay. She's in therapy?
Yes.
Why do you think the therapy's not helping?
I think the therapy is helping. We were talking about it, and she has come a long way. There are extraneous factors. It was a family member. It was a cousin of hers, and their family is refusing to address it. And so...
So she feels there's no justice here. Did she press charges?
No.
Why?
Because she was afraid she would lose her family, that my husband would lose his sister and so on and so forth, that she was trying to stop that from happening. And so she didn't tell. The only person she told was me when it first happened 2 years ago. And then eventually we told my husband and so on and so forth. So it's been, and we told his parents last January, they denied it. No, actually, they were very good about it, but they made him call her and apologize, and he said, "I'm sorry for not protecting you." That's not an apology for what he did. He just threw the blame right back on her.
All right. Well, that's kind of a denial. So, your daughter's in therapy, so I can't really say much. Obviously, therapist knows 50 times what I might know. However, if we say she has a very serious reason for her social anxiety, on one hand, that's true. But on the other hand, if she realizes that her thoughts that are creating these feelings are constricting her life terribly, then in some respects, what has happened is that she's adding to the trauma. If she realizes, okay, I don't want to have my life so terribly constricted because of that. And I may think everybody's looking at me lustfully, but the reality is, most may not be. Or, if they're looking at her, she's an attractive girl. Okay? But what's happening is, she's convincing herself of something that may not be realistic. Which is, I can't trust any of these people. I can't accept how they're all looking at me. So therefore, when I get anxious, I got to get out of this. And therefore, I quit my job. Well, the problem is, any job she has, for the most part, is going to be around people. So until the therapist helps her get past her thinking about this, she can become locked into it. People used to do this all the time. They get basically into a thinking role, and they don't challenge it. They don't let it go because they think that's just how I feel and there's nothing I can do about it. That's not true at all. And until, I hope, through therapy, your daughter comes to that conclusion, she'll continue to get better. Now, you said a good thing. You said she's getting better. Well, I think your worry as a mother is she's not getting better fast enough. All right. But if she is improving, then you're heading in the right direction. I think you need to help your daughter, talk to her about what the therapist said, and confirm it. I got to believe the therapist is probably trying to help her get past these thoughts that are constricting her. The way people are looking at me, what they think, et cetera, all of that is really a thinking overreaction. And once she comes to that realization, she can obviously start to move forward with her life. All right, Lisa, bless you. Thanks for the call. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Time is God's creation. He actualizes his plan of salvation in time and in space. We live at that interface between time and eternity, and that is never more visible to us as in the liturgy, where heaven touches earth. That's where our attention catches a glimpse of eternity. And then, unfortunately, the veil falls too quickly back over our eyes. Time passes, memory fades, willpower weakens, our attention gets restless and flitters between the urgent and the important, the trivial, the profound. In and of itself, time serves nothing. It improves nothing. But through the church calendar, Christ is restructuring time to assist in our sanctification.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Vanessa Denha-Garmo. Are you anxious to make sure that your children hold on to the precious Catholic faith God gave them? In their brand new free webinar, Raising Confident Catholic Kids, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak will share what research says it takes to raise kids who will own their Catholic faith and values. The webinar, which is completely free to attend, is happening on Wednesday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up today at CatholicHOM.com/webinar.
Radio, great to have you here tonight. Pledge Banquet. A lot of chairs in there. A lot of chairs in there. Not a single picture of me, though. Not a single picture. I'm leaving. Greg is calling from South Dakota. Either that or San Diego. I'm not sure which one of that SD is. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, you don't have to thank me. Eric Dumont took it. He just passed it on to me. I had no choice.
My question is, what do you recommend for children, as particularly an 8-year-old, who has lost an infant sibling, still miss the baby, and are acting out aggressively with difficulty going to sleep? I can give more background if need be.
How long ago, Greg?
So we have 4 kids. We had a daughter, our daughter Adelaide was diagnosed with trisomy 18 back in February. My wife had her, and the kids said, "Goodnight, Adelaide," in utero. She was born in May, so 4 months ago, and she passed a week later.
Okay, so she never really came home from the hospital, huh?
Right. She was in the NICU, and our kids got to see her for an hour in the NICU while she was alive.
Okay. It's easy to think that your 8-year-old, maybe he's the more sensitive kid, is acting out because of the fact that he has somehow, quote unquote, not resolved his grief. The nice thing about 8-year-olds, they're incredibly resilient. Really resilient. They bounce back so much faster than grown-ups do. So much faster. One of the reasons for that is that they don't tell themselves all the things that grown-ups tell themselves. So here's my guess. I would wonder if your 8-year-old is acting up not because of the passing of his little sister, but simply because he's getting older and mom and dad were preoccupied. Mom and dad were going through their own grief. It altered mom and dad's parenting. And because of that, he started to push harder.
Okay.
Now, also, he would do this. He would say, and kids are very good at this, when they act up, they point to an explanation that they know their parents are going to buy. Oh, you're laughing. He does that, doesn't he?
He does that, yes.
Yeah, I can't get over it. I just can't get over it. That's what he does. Okay? I would suggest this, Greg. You comfort him however you can. But part of that comfort does not allow him to be defiant.
Okay. And we do, I guess, they kind of follow your recommendation as far as, like, we don't tolerate the him acting out. Like, if he hits his sister, it's like he gets a consequence. Like, you can't do this, even if you're feeling mad, right. Bad, et cetera.
Right. So. I suspect, now, I don't know your son, but just dealing with a lot of kids who are in this situation, I suspect that he read the situation and he realized, yeah, he was sad about it. Maybe he's your most sensitive kid, as I said. But he realized he could use it. Now, that doesn't mean he's a deceptive little weasel. It just means he's an 8-year-old boy. That's what they do. Okay? I had a bunch of kids that did that, too. You know, something happens like, you know why? This is why I'm doing this. You don't realize the pain I'm in. That's what they do. Now, I'm not saying he's doing that, but it could be. Could be. All right, Greg. Thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray from Siouxland. Makes me nervous legally. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.